As American and British troops battle on the ground, and Allied planes and missiles press their attack on Baghdad, the people of Iraq have become terrorized spectators and, for some, victims of war. NPR's Anne Garrels is in Baghdad. She filed this report on how one Iraqi family is enduring the war and responding to the Allied attacks.
Sitting over a cup of dark sweet tea in the absence of a government minder, 38-year-old Zainab shakes her head in amazement at the events of the past week. She didn't anticipate Iraqis would take on the Americans with such fervor. She planned to sit out this war, watching from the sidelines, expecting it to be over quickly. But now that Iraqis have shown they're willing to fight, this delicate woman in a long blue robe says she too will fight on the streets of Baghdad if American troops try to enter the capital. Pride has overtaken paralyzing fatalism. Zainab is a Shiite Muslim, one of the majority which has endured relentless repression at the hands of Saddam's Sunni-dominated government. But Zainab says the divide, so apparent until the war, has disappeared with a new unity forged against the Americans. She calls them aggressors who have come only for oil. No one, she says, talks of Shiites or Sunni now. She compares the current situation with that of the 91 Gulf War. Then she understood why the U.S. pushed Iraq out of Kuwait. But this time, she says, we're innocent. We did not attack anyone. Asked why Shiites are not rising up against Saddam Hussein as they did after the Gulf War, she admits she was initially surprised. But now she concludes the anger against the U.S. is greater than that against Saddam Hussein. She says Iraqis are fighting for their country and their faith. People are also very angry about the other Arab countries, she quickly adds. She spits out the names of those countries which have done nothing to support the Iraqis, or worse still, who have sided with the U.S. Jordan comes in for the harshest criticism. Just wait, she warns. We will get our revenge. Bombs have rained down around her neighborhood. Though it's not been damaged, the two-story cement house is shaken so hard the pictures on the wall are all askew. Last night, the blasts were particularly ferocious. Just 500 yards away, the Baghdad headquarters of the infamous Ali Hassan al-Majid was destroyed. Known as Chemical Ali for launching attacks against the Kurds, he remains one of Saddam Hussein's top lieutenants. Like many, Zainab expected the initial wave of bombing would be much worse. As Baghdadis saw the precision of the bombs, they began to believe the U.S. would not touch the infrastructure. But by this morning, three telecommunication hubs had been eviscerated. Zainab can no longer call out. She can't reach friends and relatives. She feels isolated and sees this as a portent of worse to come. She lives with her younger brother, his wife, and small children, a modest life helping with family chores. She never married, like many of her generation. Eligible young men her age were decimated by Saddam's 8-year-long war with Iran. The absence of the usual rote praise of Saddam Hussein suggests no love for him. Her brother, a university student who also runs the family business, is a Ba'ath Party member, but he apparently joined to advance his career rather than out of any loyalty. But now she says he's out on the streets, carrying a gun and ready to fight. His attitude against the U.S. has hardened with the reality of war, the unexpected camaraderie among Iraqis, and reports of bravery from the South. Yet for all the talk of fighting, she says she doesn't know how long the family can cope. She fears a siege of the capital. In just 1 week, the price of food has soared. Potatoes, a staple during wartime, have gone up 3 times. Tomatoes and cucumbers, 5 times. The conversation is interrupted by another round of bombing. The mosques respond with amplified calls to God. And Zainab can only echo their words, "What God ordains will be." Anne Garrels, NPR News, Baghdad.